You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera. Americans for Truth is a single-issue organization devoted to opposing and exposing the powerful homosexual, bisexual, transgender lobby. And we are taping today with we're pre-taping a show with two of my favorite ladies on the whole planet Earth, Barb Anderson and Lori Higgins. Are you ladies there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Pete. Yeah.
Hey, well,
good to be back on your show.
Yeah, and we've had you on before, and so anybody can go back and we have the Barb Anderson. I don't know if we did three or two, Barb, but it's back on Americans for Truth on the archive page, and Lori Higgins also, so you can listen to those old interviews. But we're going to be talking about some important things that are happening with regard to the ever, you know, accelerating push to promote homosexuality, bisexuality, and transgenderism, whatever that is, to young people. And that I say whatever that is because it's a whole bunch of things. And now we've got all new identities that seem to be like, you know, coming forth every week. Like one is called genderqueer. We're not making that up. That's another identity. It's another orientation. So we'll talk a little bit about that maybe in the second interview, but we're pre-taping. These interviews will be airing, let's see, we're taping on the 13th. The first interview will air on the 14th, Saturday night, the 14th, the second on the 21st of April. So, Barb, describe, you work with the Minnesota Family Policy Council. Describe what you do there.
I'm a volunteer researcher for the Minnesota Family Council, and I'm also a part of the Parents Action League in our school district. And my research has been in the area of sex education and the gay agenda and the impact that it's making on the schools.
Okay. And Lori, go ahead.
I work for the Illinois Family Institute, and I'm a cultural analyst for them. But I focus a lot on both the issue of homosexuality and its influence in public schools.
And anybody who's not getting either of your writings needs to get on the list. Lori, yours is real easy. They can just sign up at illinoisfamily.org, right?
Right, exactly.
And you got to get their emails, and then you get Lori's excellent writings. And Lori, you are a national treasure. Barb, you too. Now, Barb, how do people find out what you're saying? I mean, is there a Parents Action League email, or what goes on there?
We do have a Parents Action League website, parentsactionleague.org.
Parents Action League.
They can email me. I do have an email at the Minnesota Family Council. It's barb@mfc.org if they're looking for any specific information.
Okay, that's barb@mfc.org.
Correct.
Okay, now, ladies, we're going to be talking about, we've got this terrible thing that happened to you, this ongoing sort of crisis in Minnesota there, Barb, and I want you to give a short rundown of that in our first taping, and we'll go into it in depth in our second taping. First of all, Lori, explain quickly, the Day of Silence is Friday, April 20th. Explain what that is and what you are advocating parents to do on this sort of homosexual propaganda day in schools across the country. That's Friday, April 20th.
Sure. Day of Silence, which started on college campus about 16 years ago, and I think 3 years or so after that, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network took it over. It was an effort purportedly to draw attention to and sympathize with the silenced voices of homosexuals and now transgenders, and they promote it as an effort to end bullying. But it's way more than that, and everyone who's familiar with all the different activities that are coming into public schools understand that this effort, that the bullying movement is really a means to a greater goal, which is to normalize homosexuality and to make it socially and politically impossible to express conservative moral propositions, because homosexual activists believe that it is conservative moral opposition that creates the climate rife for bullying, and that therefore the only way you can eradicate bullying is to make it impossible to speak truth on this issue. And
that, well, isn't that convenient for them, Lori? All conservative religious moral opposition leads to bullying. Therefore, if you want to stop bullying, you really need to have all conservative moral religious opposition shut down.
That's right. First, they go into public schools, and they want to get into elementary schools. They are getting into elementary
schools. They're in.
That's right. They are. Not in all of them, but that will be forthcoming because conservatives are both ignorant, and I don't mean stupid. I mean they're unaware of what's going on, and they're unaware of sort of the fallacies embedded in the homosexual movement's arguments, and they're cowardly, so they won't address it. So it will be, and it's coming through these campaigns like the Day of Silence and the No Name Calling Week, Ally Week, Spirit Day, Transgender Day of Remembrance, National Coming Out Day, and there's a new one that's, I can't even remember.
Why don't we just declare the whole year, the gay year?
Well, if you look at them, it actually covers most
get it all done with it once.
That's right. And they, and of course, and then they're doing it in, they're getting, like, the law that passed in California that requires social studies classes to present homosexuality and transgenderism positively, and at the same time censors any resources that express dissenting views. And so this is what's going on in public schools. They want to get at our kids and influence them, their beliefs and their values at a very young age, and they also want to create a climate, if you can't eradicate the beliefs, make it socially impossible to express them. And
right,
legally, if they can, through passing laws like they did in California.
Sure, which is why this whole movement has given rise to the term homofascism as applied to homosexual activists who really don't tolerate dissent. They say that they respect people's religion and that they're tolerant of dissenting beliefs. But the reality is they're working overtime now to squelch dissent, not just in this area, but in all areas of the debate, whether it's shutting down media coverage of former homosexuals, whether it's screaming whenever there's a discussion of the health risks of homosexual behavior. This manifests itself in so many ways. And Lori, we're going to go back to the Day of Silence, but Barb, I want you to give a brief rundown, as brief as you can, because we're going to do a whole episode on this, about what you've experienced there at the Anoka-Hennepin School District. This has been in the news. The school district has been accused of fostering this bullying atmosphere, which, you know, and there's been all sorts of false accusations. Can you give us a little background about what happened, how this, you know, what gave rise to these accusations, and briefly tell us about it?
Well, 2 years ago, under a banner of bullying prevention, gay activists used the tragic suicides of several students in our school district to pressure our school board to overturn their neutrality policy on homosexuality. Our board refused, so then the gay activists teamed up with two more bullies, the Southern Poverty Law Center and the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and they found six students willing to file a lawsuit against our school district. Suddenly, we had Eric Holder's Department of Justice and the U.S. Department of Education launching an investigation, and they entered the lawsuit. This spring, the board caved in. They threw out the neutrality policy, and they moved us from impartiality to full affirmation of homosexuality. And they settled this lawsuit at an astronomical cost to our school district. So now we have a 5-year anti-bullying partnership with the U.S. Department of Justice, and they're billing this as a model that is to be a blueprint for schools across the nation.
Okay, wait a minute. So Eric Holder, the same attorney general who won't investigate the Black Panthers for, you know, basically putting a death threat on George Zimmerman, they've entered into this Minnesota school district. Now, there was a neutrality policy which basically said, what, you cannot promote homosexuality? We're going to be completely neutral on this and other controversial issues, or what, just homosexuality?
It was just about homosexuality and the fact that it was not to be a part of the school curriculum, that this was a topic best addressed in churches, communities, and in the home. And if the subject came up in class, students were allowed to bring it up to talk about it. The teachers were just to remain neutral, not take one side or another, and not to indoctrinate with their particular views. But they were using this as a pretext, of course, to advance a broader agenda, saying, oh, this created a hostile environment, and gay kids are now killing themselves because teachers aren't intervening. And of if there was bullying going on. And of course they were. Our teachers were doing a phenomenal job in stopping bullying whenever they saw it.
But there was a false accusation that, I mean, the school district itself came out, and we're going to talk about this again, but briefly, the school district came out and said that none of the kids were, there was no atmosphere that contributed to these kids' deaths.
Absolutely not. This was just trumped up charges, and they were using this, you know, to get in, to overturn the policy and to get this to be a model for the nation.
Right.
Exactly like Lori said, to silence people so that they can't present any opposing view.
Lori, 1 minute before we come to our first break, but briefly summarize how this bullying, I mean, this has just gotten out of hand. Everything now is all, the entire agenda is being pushed in the name of fighting bullying.
Well, yes, and I mean, we see that in Illinois passed an enumerated anti-bullying law, which includes the categories gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation as the groups that cannot be bullied. Those are conditions on which they cannot be bullied, which of course implies that there are, the logic of that is that there are groups for which bullying is legitimate. And of course, bullying is not legitimate for any student. You can oppose bullying and oppose these kinds of laws. All schools have wildly generous anti-bullying policies and have for a very long time. And as Barb was pointing out, their neutrality policy only applied to curricula. It had nothing to do with bullying. It didn't undermine or contravene their anti-bullying policy that was existing. It didn't prevent teachers from intervening in bullying. And they tried to make that connection. And they always try to make the connection between conservative Christian beliefs and bullying. And I have never read a single example of any proof that it was conservative Christian beliefs that made some student bully another student.
Hold it right there, Lori. We're talking to Lori Higgins and Barb Anderson. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking to two wonderful pro-family activists, Lori Higgins from the Illinois Family Institute and Barb Anderson of Parents Action League, also Minnesota Family Council. The websites are illinoisfamily.org, parentsactionleague.org, or MFC, minnesotafamilycouncil.org. And, of course, our website is americansfortruth.com. And if you're inclined to support Americans for Truth, we definitely need it. So you can make it, you can give a gift at the donate section at the top. The previous interviews with Lori and Barb are available, as will this interview be archived on our website. Just use the button at the right. Now, both Lori and Barb, needless to say, no Christian, no true Christian favors bullying or harassment or violence or abuse of any child. If anything, we want all children protected. What we're basically saying is you can protect against bullying in schools. You can protect against abusive behavior without promoting an aberrant sexual or transgender ideology. But Lori?
Absolutely. I had a conversation, an email conversation, with a really well-known homosexual activist in California who shall remain nameless because we have conversations off the record. And I asked him if he would be willing in all anti-bullying discussions in public schools to require that the term homophobia be defined so that kids don't misunderstand and come away thinking that their conservative moral convictions constitute homophobia. And he said, absolutely not. That's evidence, proof, that he believes that conservative moral beliefs, which is simply the idea that volitional homosexual acts are not moral, that belief constitutes bullying, or at least creates the climate into which bullying will occur. And so, and you know, you were talking about how they, you know, purport to be just promoting tolerance. Increasingly, as you all know that are reading on that, they're becoming more open and saying, we have no need to tolerate conservative beliefs because they're hateful. Well, of course, the idea that it's hateful is the unproven contentious proposition. We don't think they're hateful. If volitional homosexual acts are, in fact, immoral, it's not hateful to say that. If, in fact, volitional homosexual acts efface human dignity, then saying kids shouldn't engage in them is not a hateful act.
Well, if it's hateful, then our God is a terribly hateful God.
Right.
Which is what some atheists on the left say. Barb, this idea of, I mean, the kids are brainwashed. They are getting so much homosexual propaganda. Of course, we've seen the polls. Polls show that the young people under 30, are more pro-life and yet more pro-homosexual at the same time. I don't know how accurate all these polls are, but it's very disturbing to know that young people are not getting key information on this issue because of the propaganda that's already out there, both in the schools and the popular culture.
Well, that's absolutely right. They are just getting one-sided information, and what the gay activists do is they exploit the sympathies of the young kids. They play on their emotions. I know in order to get a gay-straight alliance in one of our middle schools, they first of all held a coat drive because they told the kids that these gay kids are getting kicked out of their homes and they're homeless, they're on the streets, and they're freezing in the winter here. And so, you know, they played on their sympathies and got these kids to come on board. And then before you knew it, here they had a gay-straight alliance at this middle school.
Yeah.
So they really are exploiting them and using them as pawns for their greater...
Okay, and a little history, because I've been doing this a little longer than even you guys. The very first pro-homosexual school programs in the United States began in Massachusetts with then Kevin Jennings, who, of course, now is famous. Back then, he wasn't quite so famous. He was the founder of GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. And he and other activists in Boston, which really is ground zero for the homosexual youth school movement, they directly used suicides. They used a fallacious report about suicide, and they trumpeted claims that gay youth were incredibly high percentage, higher rate to commit suicide. And they used that sort of exploitation, this ploy, to push pro-homosexual school programs in Massachusetts, Lori. So this has been going on a long time. Now it's come full circle, and there's this rash of suicides, some of which are repeat. I mean, they're copycat suicides, and these have been used now to justify a further exponential expansion into schools.
Well, and that's one of the problems with conservatives. They don't look at the big picture, and they don't understand this is not one day of anti-bullying activity in your school. We have anti-bullying activities that are going to come at younger and younger ages. We have comprehensive sex ed, a huge component of which is the attempt to normalize transgenderism and normalize homosexuality. We have English teachers and theater teachers using curricula to introduce these ideas, and then we have, you know, just picture books in elementary school. So we have a whole, and that's in addition to what the kids are coming, they're exposed to in the culture. For you, you were saying that how this younger generation is becoming more pro-life and more pro-homosexual, and you have to look at the composite picture and all the influences that they're exposed to, and that they never hear any intellectual dissent from these, from some of the great thinkers, Robert George, the Princeton law professor, Francis Beckwith, who works at Baylor now, professors all over this country at really esteemed institutions. They never hear their writing, and in addition to the cultural commentators, I have a lot of college kids call me for interviews, usually journalism students, and you can get journalism students to talk more than regular reporters, and I'll get done, and they're always liberal. And they'll say, at the end of interviews, often they'll say, I've never heard any of the ideas that you're saying.
Right.
And that's a tragedy. And,
yeah.
it's both an educational problem, too.
Right. Now, let's get back to our point for the first show here, the Day of Silence. Now, Lori, you're an expert on this now because IFI has been hosting this sort of walkout of the Day of Silence. What is the principle behind the walkout? Is it to send a message to the schools because the schools get money per student? Is that one of the things? Why the walkout rather than some effort to try to promote truth about homosexuality during that time when the other side is silent?
Well, there's two considerations. One is what's your ultimate goal? You know, is your goal to have more conversation about homosexuality in public schools in which conservative teachers are afraid to speak and they're afraid to introduce resources in their curriculum that express conservative views, and the liberal teachers that dominate and are very loud in public schools, do you think you'll ever get a fair shake? So do we want more dialogue on this in schools, or do we want this issue out and left to families, synagogues, churches, private civic organizations? So we want it out. We want the conversation out. It'll never be dealt fairly. And then the other aspect of this is, what will kids do? This is before it became any kind of national effort. It was just me with my daughter. I was working at Deerfield High School, which is in the suburbs of Chicago, and I saw what was going on. I saw teachers modifying their curriculum to accommodate student silence. Oh, perhaps we should say here, for those who don't know, the Day of Silence, kids will put up posters. They will usually have some paraphernalia associated with it, a bracelet, a necklace, a T-shirt. But the big problem with it is they're asked to be silent all day, including during instructional time, during class time.
So they're not participating in class if they remain silent, forced silence during the class.
That's
in
right.
class.
And some teachers are allowed to refuse to speak, too. So they write on the board, this is disruptive to the day. And it is a political protest. It's political protest against conservative moral beliefs and in support of liberal, unproven, non-objective assumptions.
Yes.
And so all we're saying is parents should call their schools and ask the administration a really specific question. Do you allow teachers to permit students to refuse to speak in class on the Day of Silence? Don't ask if the school sponsors it or supports it, because they technically it's students who are sponsoring it, and so schools can honestly say, no, we don't sponsor it, when in fact they're allowing students to refuse to speak. And then ask, do you allow students to refuse to speak in class? And if they say yes, then tell them that you will be calling your child out of school that day. And one of the reasons we think it has the potential to work, if enough parents do it, is it costs schools money for every student absence, and it's somewhere between $40 and $80 a day per student. And also, students, for the most part, are much more willing to stay home from school than they are to go to school and express conservative views about homosexuality. It's uncomfortable. Their parents won't even do it. Their parents won't go to a school board meeting and read a 2-minute prepared statement, after which they can leave and never see people again. And then they think that kids are going to go and initiate dialogue
right.
on the single most controversial issue in America today. It's
right.
absurd. Kids won't do it.
It's asking too much of a lot of kids.
Right.
And this is a huge propaganda event. I mean, you have the schools do allow a lot of propaganda in the hallways. You've got posters and stuff like that. And generally, again, this is designed to create this whole atmosphere that, celebrating homosexuality is the new norm and opposing it is wrong. They've flipped truth on its head, Barb. As we know from Isaiah 5:20, evil is good and good is evil. It's incredible, but they're trying to create that norm. You've got a minute, Barb. Can you comment on is Lori right? Is it unrealistic to expect kids to become, masters at giving the other side in such a heated atmosphere?
She's absolutely right about that. I think kids don't feel equipped and adequate in sharing that information and communicating it to their other fellow students. And sometimes they get so sick of this topic, too. A lot of the students on the Day of Silence use duct tape and tape their mouths shut. Another thing that was done in our school district is the teachers bought T-shirts from the students, the Day of Silence T-shirts, and they were told they were not to wear them. The teachers could not wear them. So what some of the gay activist teachers did is they wore them inside out. So this still, the kids knew where the teachers stood on this topic. And it's better to get the kids out when they're suppressing the truth like that and trying to transform the thinking of these kids.
Barb, it's just, both of you, it's so wrong that teachers become, well, as the left says, change agents. And they're manipulating their position of authority in the classroom and school. They're manipulating the friendship they have won and the respect they've earned with these students. And they're putting it to use on one side of a very controversial issue on which students are not getting the other side presented well. We'll be right back with Barb Anderson and Lori Higgins after the break. Pete LaBarber with AmericansForTruth.com.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth. I'm here with Lori Higgins, my good friend, and Barb Anderson, a tremendous activist. Barb is with the Parents Action League in Minnesota, also the Minnesota Family Council. The Parents Action League website is parentsactionleague.org. You can send her an email at barb@mfc. mfc.org is the Minnesota Family Council website. Lori is with the Illinois Family Institute, and that website is illinoisfamily.org, and ours, of course, is americansfortruth.org or .com. Lori, I want to pick up on the point you just made with regard to these students, and I can see the other side saying, oh, the poor religious right, their side is too afraid to make the truth because they have to justify hate and all this, you know, baloney that they're always throwing at us. But there is something that everybody who's argued this issue has noticed. And I think I remember reading a piece by Glenn Stanton from Focus on the Family. And he was saying how after he gives a speech, typically during the talk and when there's Q&A, the liberal students are just, you know, asking questions aggressively. And they might be, you know, ridiculous questions, but some might be smart, but they're not afraid. They're pushing hard. And then afterwards, somebody, a conservative student, will come up and say, tug him on the, you know, on the sleeve, Mr. Stanton, thanks for coming. I agree with you. And of course, we know this also in when we talk to adults. A lot of times adults are big wimps. They don't want to admit that they're on our side. Explain, why is this and what can we do to turn it around?
Well, I think, first of all, we aren't going to end that now. We're not going to end. They have been successful at labeling us haters, bigots, you know.
They've intimidated people, in other
that's
words.
That's right. Yeah. And they've done it through ad hominem attacks, just attacking people's personality. Barb, and you and I and many of your listeners know about the book After the Ball that came out in, what was that, 90 or?
I think it was 80s.
Yeah,
89,
and it outlined the what they called in the introduction the Gay Manifesto, how to transform the culture on that. And one of the ways is to associate conservative moral beliefs with hateful, bigotry spewing, you know, people like Reverend Fred Phelps, and make that association, which they continue to do. And so Christians reasonably don't want to be labeled with that, nor do their kids want to be. And also, right now, there's a cultural cachet associated with being pro-homosexual. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a teen in a high school, you're going to have to hold your own if you want to express, even in a timid, deferential way, your conservative moral beliefs. You better be ready to hold your own in a debate with 15 other kids and a teacher who will either be on the liberal kid's side or will be a conservative teacher and won't help you because they'll be similarly afraid. And then I think there's an element, there's part of the church that's contributed to this problem because we haven't addressed and helped people understand the accusations regarding judging or being judgmental. There's nothing in the scripture that says that Christians are not supposed to discriminate between right and wrong.
Yeah.
And so, but we don't know how to think through it. And that's one of the problems why we need to equip the adults. Christians
yes.
don't know how to address the secular arguments used to normalize homosexuality. We have to equip them. If they don't know how to defend their position, they won't, and they will be deceived by the cultural arguments.
So in the zeitgeist that we're in, I mean, there's been years, decades of propaganda from the other side, and a lot of people have been jammed, to use the word of Marshall Kirk and Hunter Manson in that book, After the Ball. And Barb, I want to get you to comment on this. One of the things that the homosexual side, with the complicit media, of course, and, you know, it's sort of easier to win when you've got no accountability from a cheerleading press. One of the goals of After the Ball was desensitization, they called it. And let me just read this quote, Barb. This is a homosexual sort of manual. It's called After the Ball, How America Will Conquer Its Fear and Hatred of Gays in the 90s. Quote, if you can get straights to think, there's a couple paraphrases in here, but here's the basic quote. If you can get straights to think homosexuality is, quote, just another thing, meriting no more than a shrug of the shoulders, then your battle for legal and social rights is virtually won, unquote. And Barb, when you see the kids, I mean, if I had a quarter for every time an adult Christian told me that their kid called him a homophobe, this has totally been successful, this strategy with young people, because they don't think homosexuality is a big deal anymore.
No, absolutely. They just do kind of give it a shrug. So what? You know what? So what if he's gay? And they have not been told the health consequences, how high risk this is for AIDS. They have the sanitized version of what the homosexual lifestyle is like, so they don't think it's a big deal. And I agree with Lori. The churches have really fallen back on not training the kids. They need to know how to address this issue. They need to know how to respond to all of these arguments that are being thrown at them. And part of the problem is, as Christians, we are called to a higher standard, so we don't resort to name-calling. And we want to be kind, so we don't want people to call us bigots or haters. And that's why they win, because we're afraid to have those names or those labels attached to us when we speak the truth.
Right, and they've intimidated people. And here's one of those health factors that you cited, Barb. This is a CDC slide on the web. You can just plug in CDC MSM gay or HIV, and MSM stands for men who have sex with men. In this particular slide I'm looking at, it shows that it's titled Diagnoses of HIV Infection Among Men Who Have Sex with Men, age group by age group, and it's 2006 to 2009 from 40 states. And the largest rise is young men aged 13 to 24 had a dramatic, you know, it's rising the HIV infection rate. So, you know, we don't ever hear that in the media. We don't hear how it's compassionate to keep young men and especially boys away from a lifestyle that has so many risks attached to it physically, even life-threatening risks. We don't ever talk about that. It's only we only talk about bullying and pro-homosexual, framing of the argument in the area of compassion, Lori. It's totally one-sided.
Well, it is one-sided. And I wanted to go back for a second to what both you and Barb were talking about, the name-calling and labeling. And Christians have to accept that this is going to happen. I mean, we're promised that we're going to be hated, we're going to be persecuted, we're going to be mocked and ridiculed. And Christians today are saying, in essence, oh, I'm not going to say anything if it costs me anything. And, you know, I'm not saying we go out and invite hatred, but you cannot wait for that labeling and that association and those ad hominem attacks to stop before you speak. We have to speak, and we have to accept that there's costs. And if we don't pay those things now, then what kind of legacy are we bequeathing to our children and our grandchildren? If we think it's bad now, what do Christians today think it's going to look like in 10, 20 years when their grandchildren are starting to go to public schools?
Right. Well, Lori, it's simply unacceptable for a faithful Christian, anybody who believes the Bible, to approve of homosexuality and certainly to grant it as a civil right, or even worse. I mean, you've got Peggy Campolo, whose husband Tony is a very esteemed, he's very well-known evangelical leader, and Peggy Campolo is a same-sex marriage so-called activist. So there's a lot of confusion in evangelical circles, but we've only got a short time left. Back to the Day of Silence walkout that you're helping to promote, and you can get information on that at illinoisfamily.org. I've got Linda Harvey's article up at americansfortruth.com. Her article is called 10 Reasons Supporting the Walkout. But Lori, what you're saying, I hear you saying, is, look, we can't solve all this now. This is going to take years, decades to get back to. But right now, we need to take a step, a clear action. If you find out that your child's school in any way is allowing the promotion of this activist event, send a message, a very powerful message, to that school and pull your child out. And then you can take that day and you can teach a moral lesson to your child. You can do anything you want. It's going to be more profitable than being subjected to this Day of Silence pro-homosexual, pro-transgender propaganda on April 20th.
Absolutely. And if your child is the only child that's pulled out of school on that day, like my daughter was, which was 7 years ago or 8 years ago now, still they're not exposed to it and they don't feel the discomfort. And a lot of people don't realize this. There are actually liberal kids and liberal teachers in public schools who hate this day because the teachers are interested in teaching their subject matter and the kids don't want to be confronted with this controversy. It's a handful of activist teachers and a handful of activist students in most schools. In Massachusetts, it might be a huge number. But most people, I should say, many, many, and many schools would like this day out, and they're looking for parents to object to it. And I know that from working in a public high school in a liberal community.
Yeah. And that financial penalty is that's what hits them where they live, right, Lori?
That's right.
How much is that typically?
Well, for a particular student, it's anywhere between $40 and $80 per student per school. So if you have 10 students out in a school that has an $80 per student, they've lost $800 on that day. And this is something that conservative administrators would be able to use to say, we can't continue to do this. And by the way, it's either ACLU or Lambda Legal, which is a homosexual legal organization, and they have it right on the Day of Silence website. It says, students have no legal right to refuse to speak if teachers are asking them to speak. And that's why I want conservative teachers to plan activities. They can do something also. They can plan activities that require students to verbally participate. And if students refuse, then they can send them to the dean.
Okay, Lori, a minute and a half. What about the lies and the sort of obfuscation that comes from the administrators at the school? We've had examples of schools say that nobody's calling, there's no protest at all, when we knew that there were. So what can you do to make sure parents get the right information?
They should call the administration, or I actually say email so you have a written response, and ask a very specific question, and this is all on our website. Ask, do you permit teachers to allow students to refuse to speak in class? And do you allow students to refuse to speak in class? If they say yes, well, then they're not even trying to conceal it. If they say no, then ask them, how is this communicated to the teachers, to the students, and to the parents? Because some schools are saying, oh, no, we don't, but they don't even communicate that to anybody because they don't want the controversy. And so then ask, how is that communicated? Lots of responses depending on what they say. If they say, "Oh, we don't communicate it," then I would suggest keeping your kids out of school because it's likely going on.
All right, now, folks, that is Lori Higgins' website, IllinoisFamily.org. My friend Dave Smith runs that organization. Go to IllinoisFamily.org and click on the Day of Silence button. You'll get all the information that Lori's talking about. We're talking about making a stand for truth here and doing something to offset this terrible propaganda, which is just being thrown at our kids on a daily basis in school. We'll be right back with Lori Higgins and Barb Anderson. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking about a homosexual activist event called the Day of Silence. This is a very manipulative day where, we've already explained it, pro-homosexual youth come in and they say that they're going to be silent on this day out of solidarity with homosexuals worldwide. Lori, you wanted to make a point about the Southern Poverty Law Center and its arm called Teaching Tolerance. What's that all about, and how do they get involved in this Day of Silence?
Well, I don't think they're involved per se in the Day of Silence, but I want to paint the bigger picture here. I mentioned a whole host of other weeks and days that are now in public schools. Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which Barb can talk about more, was involved in her issue, has an educational arm called Teaching Tolerance. You can go to their website. Every parent can go to it. Thousands of teachers subscribe to their free newsletter, the email newsletter that came out, and I just got one a week or so ago, and they'll send out activities recommended. And this activity was for students, kindergarten, first, and second graders. And it was an activity designed to turn them into gender identity activists, which means to turn kindergartners, first graders, and second graders into activists for the cause of normalizing gender confusion, or what they like to call transgenderism.
You got to be kidding me, Lori.
Nope,
parents have no clue. 99.99% of parents, I estimate, would have no clue that this sort of radical activism is going on right under their noses.
That's right. And this will be coming to every elementary school in the country if we don't start doing something. And if you don't do Day of Silence Walkout, do something else. I mean, there is not one single effort that I think is effective to counter what's going on multiple fronts through all the activities, all the campaigns. There's a new one from that Hate Sucks organization that's come out in encouraging kids to create a YouTube video. If they do it, they will get a free T-shirt, and the video has to say that they will promote same-sex marriage in their schools.
Wow.
And so there's a whole host of things. Dave Silence Walkout is one thing, easy thing for parents to do and take a stand.
Okay, and remember, go to the IllinoisFamily.org website, and just in this Friday, April 20th, you need to call before. Call Wednesday or Thursday. This program will probably be airing Monday or Tuesday. You need to find out what your school is doing. Barb, this is incredible. You know, the left just, there are no boundaries. Now they want to turn kindergartners and, first graders into gender identity activists. Of course, we've seen pro-homosexual instruction has been going on for now decades without most parents knowing. How is it there in Minnesota? You obviously have been trying to stop this, but what can parents do? Are you finding that more parents now are in favor, because of all this, of pulling their child right out of the public schools?
Well, we are seeing many parents that are resorting to homeschooling, and some of the charter schools in our school district have a long, long waiting list because parents are pulling out of the public schools, as you say. And they are afraid of having their children being indoctrinated with this pro-gay agenda beginning at the lowest grade levels. And as you remember, the Gay Activists Creating Change Conference with 2,000 gay activists, at that conference they made the statement that middle school and high school is too late. They need to target the elementary children. And we are seeing that happening already through the Welcoming Schools anti-bullying program, through AMAZE, which is a reading program for elementary children. We're starting to see the rainbow signs, the safe zone signs in elementary schools. And
now this just drives me crazy, and I think it drives most people who have a brain crazy. How can these kids don't even know what sex is yet? And we're foisting a pro-homosexual, a pro-transgender ideology. Where are the public servants? Where is the outrage, Barb?
That's a good question. I remember hearing about a church just recently that was so excited about their men's program in Bible study. They had 31 men that signed up, showed up to the first meeting, and I thought, what if those 31 men had shown up at a school board and testified? What if those 31 men had decided that they were going to defend their sons and daughters against this terrible thing, terrible indoctrination and transformation of the thinking of their children coming into the schools? Parents need to step up to the plate now before it's too late, because we are already having, I know in one school district, they have little first graders now that think they are lesbians because they have been told that a lesbian is a girl that likes a girl. And we are confusing their thinking about this whole idea of gender identity before they even understand what normal sexuality is like. And this is really child abuse happening in the classroom.
Lori, this is just outrageous. And yet, this is an indictment on the church that there is not more being done to stop this brainwashing of kids. I mean, how can you talk about homosexuality? How can you truthfully explain homosexuality and gender confusion, so-called transgenderism, to kids who don't even know what sex is yet?
No, I mean, it is really, I've said this multiple times, the church has been Johnny-come-lately to so many critical cultural battles, whether it was abolition of slavery, whether it was the rise of Nazism, whether it was the discrimination that was going on during the Civil Rights era. And Martin Luther King Jr. said, who worships behind those stained glass windows? What God do they serve that they do nothing? And I say, my gosh, we are teaching children that evil is right, and Christians don't feel like they should say something about that, no matter what the personal cost is to them. There is a new, GLSEN is involved in another effort. They're called the National Sexuality Education Standards, and these are standards to promote comprehensive sex ed in all schools around the country, and they introduce homosexuality at the youngest ages, and they do it by saying people can fall in love with the same sex or the opposite sex. And so,
okay, on that point, hold on, Lori, and Barb too. We've only got a couple minutes left, but Barb, you're fighting to have a marriage amendment passed there in Minnesota. People don't realize if gay marriage, so-called homosexual marriage, is legalized, you have no basis to quote, discriminate against homosexual practices, because that's just another way of love, right?
Well, that's right. And there will be a whole host of relationships that will be taught about and honored in the school curriculum. GLSEN already has a marriage curriculum in place ready to move into the schools.
What is that marriage curriculum? It's just promoting the idea of same-sex marriage as a possibility for these kids.
Yes, absolutely. And we see that many of the GLSEN-trained students come into the classroom and use peer pressure to force kids to either go to one wall if they are in favor of same-sex marriage, another if they are not. And the peer pressure is pushing kids in the direction of being advocates for same-sex marriage. So this is very dangerous when your kids are in a class like this with homosexual advocates that are trying to change the thinking of their children to become advocates and people that will stand up for homosexual rights.
Okay, Barbara, I'm going to cut you off there because we've got the next interview, but this is the first one before the Day of Silence. Lori, again, it's Friday, April 20th. That's when kids are going to be doing this propaganda Day of Silence. What do they do? They go to IllinoisFamily.org, and you've got a whole array of things to say, but there's a couple basic questions.
Ask your school if they're allowing teachers and students and or students to refuse to speak, and ask if they're permitting teachers to allow that to take place. If they are, call your student out of school. We encourage parents to send emails to their teachers and administrators explaining why, if they have the courage to do that. We have a sample calling out letter on our website. We have reasons for it. People need to know this is also in many, many middle schools. It's not just high schools any longer.
And you want that written reply. And so if you don't get it, you need to get it in a timely way. So they should be calling definitely Tuesday, Wednesday. They need to find out, get some answers so they can make good decisions.
And if they have any questions, they can call me. They can call Linda Harvey at Mission America. By the way, this is a national coalition. American Family Association has signed on, Concerned Women for America, Americans for Truth, a whole host of organizations from California to Massachusetts. Brian Kamenker with Mass Resistance. So it's not just Illinois Family Institute.
Yes, Illinois Family is hosting the information, and you guys have done a great job. Let me thank both of you for all that you do. And you guys are examples to the rest of the nation, what two people can do for the cause of truth. Thanks so much, you ladies.
Thanks so much, Pete.
Okay, and we'll talk to you soon. That's April 20th. Do something about it. Thank you.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.